Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. So seriously, Norm, seriously, you're starting your sermon, you're starting Lent with a Noah reference, one of the most ridiculous stories in the Bible. I mean, yeah, it ends with a rainbow, but it starts with God deciding to drown everybody, even little babies, puppies, kittens, and the nice lady who makes cookies for everyone wipes them all away. Such a cruel God. A nasty character. You're right. I'm not going to start there. I may not ever mention it again, actually. Let's talk about a nicer, kinder, gentler God, the one who came to the baptism of Jesus. Still shows up where there's water involved, but this time it's not quite as scary. Jesus comes to be baptized by John the Baptist, which is somewhat obvious. I mean, nobody goes to John the accountant to be baptized, right? So Jesus comes knowing what to expect. Immersion in the river. Kind of a tiny version of the Noah story, actually. The water washes all the impurity away. Jesus is cleansed of the past, and having died or drowned to the old way of being, comes alive to a new way of being. Pretty heady stuff. But as mentioned, God shows up and changes everything. In Matthew's gospel, the text says, when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." I imagine that's what God sounds like. In that moment, Jesus' identity is revealed to everyone. His ministry is announced. And that's the most familiar telling of the story. It's often depicted in paintings. I'm sure you've seen it. Jesus coming out of the water, the clouds parted, a dove descending, and the light pouring down on Jesus as everyone watches in awe. It's lovely. But this morning, from our new Starbucks, we heard Mark's gospel. And he tells the story a little differently. Just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Do you hear the difference? As Mark tells the story, it's Jesus who sees the heavens open and the dove descend. It's Jesus who hears the voice speaking, not to everyone, but to him directly. "You are my Son." Not "he is," "you are my Son." Now, there's a whole lot to discuss, I have no doubt. I mean, did somebody get the story wrong? Did the story change and evolve as good stories often do? I don't know. And this morning, it doesn't really matter to me. It's what happens next that really interests me. Theology doesn't even matter at this moment. I mean, is this the first time that Jesus has heard the news that he's God's Son, or has he always known? Has he always been the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God? I don't know. It's what happens next that matters to me. Jesus has had his identity revealed. He's been given his ministry. There it is. You're the Son of God. That's your job. Ministry is a mission, it's a job, but it's also an identity. Many of us are known by our ministries. Bill the lawyer, Dr. Mary, Mike the mechanic, Norm the idiot, or in Jubilee's case, Reverend Norm. But you get it, right? We attach the identity right there. Jesus' identity and ministry have been revealed to him. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. That's the part that matters to me. and the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Immediately. Not in a little while, not to take a break from all the work he was doing in his ministry a little later. Immediately, the Spirit drove him. Didn't nudge him, didn't suggest to him, didn't trick him into going, drove him into the wilderness. It happens fast, and there's no negotiation. This has got to be a pretty big deal. And why? Well, to be tempted, we're told. Again, Matthew tells us stories of the devil and turning stones into bread and leaping off high towers. Mark just says he was tempted. But come on, just between us on a Sunday morning, it's Jesus. He's the Son of God. How tempted could he really be? Like, what's the deal here? So let me remind you that he was driven into the wilderness, not the desert, as many of us think. The wilderness, a place that's not defined by sand, but by a lack of order, a lack of settlement, a place that's not been tamed, not been organized. It's unknown. A place in which we're vulnerable, our familiar structures and systems are gone, and nothing can be taken for granted. That's wilderness. Let me leave you there in the wilderness for a moment. I want to tell you about a fellow I met last weekend, Ken, a remarkable man. I hope that we might be friends in the future. We've started well after a couple of days. Ken is Anishinaabe, living up in the Bruce Peninsula, and we spent some time in the back of a van driving through a blizzard in Alberta, which is a lot of time to talk and just enough uncertainty that we felt like being really honest with each other, because at any moment we could go off the road. We knew that, right? So one of the things that he does is he teaches young Indigenous men what it means to be a man, the rituals and the responsibilities. He teaches them how to make and tend sacred fires. And as he talked, he explained to me that after many years, he has learned that all fires are sacred. From pipes to barbecues, all fires are sacred. He feels very strongly about this. And once when he was teaching some young men how to make and tend the sacred fire, he told them this. He told them that all fires are sacred. And an elder took him aside and asked him why he had told these young men that all fire is sacred. And he responded, well, that he wanted them to know this. He wanted them to realize. He wanted them to understand. And the elder explained to him, you've just robbed them of the experience of learning. They will simply be satisfied with your word, and they're never going to discover it for themselves now. This was a profound learning for my new friend. It was not an easy thing to learn, not an easy thing to hear. And you get that, right? Like when you know a thing, when you know this wondrous truth, you want to share it with the people you love, people who are learning, people who look to you for help. You want to give it to them. But many years later, Ken believes that learning, real knowledge, can't actually be given. It's experience. It's earned. I think that God knows that too. The Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness because being given his ministry, his mission and identity wasn't enough. Jesus had to discover it himself. He had to take ownership of his identity and his ministry. Not because a voice from heaven proclaimed, but because he owned it himself. He struggled and he paid for it with the experience of his temptations. And there is profound wisdom in that for me. But honestly, I really do prefer to have things given to me. I like presents. I really do. Birthday, Christmas, sometimes just a surprise gift. I love presents. A couple weeks ago, I was putting a whole bunch of Christmas gifts in a wooden chest at the foot of my bed. I was putting them there because I don't have anywhere else to put them. I mean, they were great gifts at Christmas. I smiled. I felt loved as I unwrapped them. I appreciated them. But a month and a half later, I don't know what to do with them. So I'm putting them away. The tough part is I had to take all the gifts from last year out of that box so I could put these ones in, and I suspect the garage sale will benefit. But it's not just stuff, is it? Honestly, I would rather sit back, roll my eyes, and cluck as another celebrity is unmasked by Me Too. I appreciate the women who have come forward and the support they've received, and I am very happy that all of these people are doing such good work in changing the world. About time the world changed. I'm not particularly interested in talking about my life or my relationships with women or my own compliance or participation in what I confess is a toxic culture. I'm not going into that wilderness, thank you very much. That unknown that's actually a little more known than I care to admit. Not going there. If Indigenous people would just tell us what they want, maybe we could let them have it. If they could educate us about what has happened and how we can make it better, then we can reconcile ourselves to the past. I'm open, but I don't know how to go into that wilderness. I don't even know if I'm supposed to say Native, Indigenous, First Nations. Whatever happened to Amerind? That was big when I was in high school. There's so much unknown. It's just too much wilderness. I don't want to go there. Here's what I know, but don't often want to admit. Here's what Mark's gospel is saying to me, even as I pretend to hear something else. Nothing worth having can be given to us, not even to Jesus. We need to invest. We need to search it out. We need to work for it. We need to pay for it. The truth is that one side can't reconcile for the other. Indigenous peoples can't do the work for the dominant culture or the dominant church. We need to reconcile. We need to go into the wilderness and face our temptations. We need to earn our ministry and identity as a reconciling church, as followers of Jesus. We actually have to do that. We can't just be given it like a sticker we put on the wall. We have to do the work. We need to confront our own actions. We need to go into our own wilderness. We need to earn our healing and our wholeness. It can't be given, even by a voice from the heavens. Lent is a time designated by the church as a time for each of us, individually and collectively, to go into the wilderness, to examine our lives and ourselves, to wonder and struggle and claim our ministry, claim our identities as followers of Jesus. That's the invitation of Lent. That's the invitation of faith. You know, there were about 17 of us here yesterday, all together, wondering, talking, struggling about Jubilee. Who is Jubilee? What is our ministry? What is our identity today? What will our identity be going forward? Not taking for granted who we are, but earning our mission and our identity. That's what we did yesterday, and it was a great day. And there's going to be opportunity for you to do some of that as well in the days to come. It has to be our ministry, not granted, but earned. With all these things swirling around us these days, threatening to drown us, you know, as we hear about truth and reconciliation, Me Too, racism, privilege, climate change, poverty, Lent is an opportunity for us to think about one of these things. It doesn't have to be all. It doesn't have to be one that I've listed. There are so many things from which we often disconnect because we're not sure. We'd rather have someone else do the work. We'd gladly approve from a distance, but we don't want to go into that wilderness. We don't want to go into the unknown. Lent is a reminder that it has to be your ministry. The work can't be done by government, by media, or anybody else. And we can't just take it with business as usual approach. You know that one where we automatically swing to the right or the left like we always do? No, we actually need to struggle, you and me. We need to wonder. We need to discover that all fire is sacred. We have to discover it ourselves. We can't be told. God, so easy to say. about that Noah story. What if, just for a moment, what if we let go of the idea that God does everything to us and for us? What if we just let go of that for a moment, okay? I'm not asking to turn my ordination in, just suggesting for a moment, let's let go of that worldview that God does everything to us and everything for us. Let's let go of that. What if we imagined that some things happen that are not so much God's will as much as stuff happens, like earthquakes or hurricanes or floods? What if this was a story about a time when everything fell apart? The corruption of systems and values was so widespread that it all began to crumble and the center simply would not hold. An incredible wilderness was descending upon the world in the time of Noah. The way that things had been, the familiar systems, the structures and privileges were about to be washed away. It was a great unknown on the horizon. And then God showed Noah what to do to survive. God gave humanity a way forward. It required Noah to listen. It required Noah to be brave. It required Noah to not shirk from his neighbors who mocked him and ridiculed him. It required Noah to listen to God and to venture into a wilderness when the whole wilderness had yet to descend. But we know the story. We learned it as children. We know that Noah and the ark survive. We know that humanity survives. We know that the animal kingdom survives. And then having come through this great wilderness, this great wipeout, this great unknown, God reminded Noah, reminded everyone, that even in the midst of flood, even in the deepest wilderness, in the midst of the great unknown, God is with us. Always. And we are not alone. Ever. Might that be enough to help us dare to reconcile? To examine, to confess, to heal, to discover and claim our own ministry and identity as a church, as a society, as individuals? I don't know. But I know that Lent is the time to try. To try. To dare to go out into the wilderness and discover that we indeed are not alone. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we are not alone. We say those words so easily, and yet sometimes we find them hard to believe. We are not alone. You are with us. We have each other. May this knowledge turn to faith. May this faith turn to action. And in this action, may we leave our fear behind. May we be the people that you have dreamed us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.